sermon title in the bulletin called I'm in Debt. I can imagine a multitude of responses that went through your mind this morning. Things you thought of ran most probably or most likely something like this. Welcome to the club. Or, so what else is new? Or, join the ranks of 200 million Americans. Or something like this. I thought preachers got big pay. Or how about this one? Is he going to take up a special offering this morning for himself? You know, I'm sure that at some time or other in your life, all of you, all of us, have owed somebody something. Maybe money, maybe a favor, but at some time or other in our life, we have all been in debt to somebody for something. I had considered this morning asking everybody to raise their hand whether or not they were in debt or not, and I decided that I didn't want to depress everyone. And because at church, you're not supposed to be depressed. So I won't ask you to raise your hand. Can you remember the first time that you ever owed someone something? I can remember borrowing a dime from somebody once. And I wasn't sure. I didn't have any idea how I was ever going to pay him back. But I needed that dime. And so I borrowed it from him. Now, those were the days when a dime could do something. Those were the days when, with a dime, you could buy two whole candy bars. I mean, you know, a Hershey bar or a Clark bar or a Reese's peanut butter cup only cost a nickel. And I can remember at the candy counter I used to go to, there were Klein chocolate bars with peanuts in, and they were a little bit smaller than Hershey bars, but they only cost 3 cents. And so for a dime, you could get three of them. I can remember that Mounds candy bars, as long as I can remember, they always cost a dime. There were, you know, but they had two of those coconut things in there. But that was big spending, to spend a dime for a Mounds bar. I was looking at a vending machine the other day with candy bars in it, and I noticed that the cheapest one was 20 cents, and most of them were 25 cents. Can you remember when you could mail three letters for a dime? You could put a 3 cent stamp, or you could mail 10 postcards, you know, for a dime. Today, of course, you know, you can only mail two-thirds of a letter for a dime. Did you ever think about that? If you took your letter and you put your stamp on it, a 10-cent stamp on it, and then took your scissors and cut off a third, and then mailed it, you think they'd mail the other two-thirds? Or maybe if you put on your dime stamp and mailed your letter, maybe they'd only take it two-thirds of the way to the destination and throw it in the dead letter office. It's terrible. A dime could do all this. Once when I was a child, I found a penny on the street, and I want to tell you, it made my day. It really did. The other day, Eric and I were walking into Dolls, and there was a penny laying on the sidewalk, and would you believe it? He never even bothered to pick it up. He walked on by it. Said, "Oh, Dad, there's a penny laying on the sidewalk back there." Didn't mean a thing to him. A few months ago, Eric came to me and wanted to borrow $13. Yeah, $13. When I was 9 years old, if I would have asked my dad for $13, it would have been like the national debt. You know, he didn't think anything of it. You know, "Hey, Dad, I need 13 bucks. You know? Probably most likely the largest sum of money any of you have ever borrowed probably has been for a home or a house that you've been buying. And it is a scary feeling to write your name on the bottom of a piece of paper that has that huge sum of money up there on it. And it just, you know, makes your stomach all crawl in knots at the bottom. I think that the largest amount of money I've ever borrowed was, we borrowed $250,000 from Burt Lance to build a church in Calhoun, Georgia. And That was rather scary, you know, $250,000. And how are you folks here, you know what that's all about. You built this beautiful sanctuary and the gymnasium and the classrooms, and you know what it's all about to borrow that much money and to work at paying it off. In our scripture reading this morning, we read a parable that Jesus told about a man who owed a lot of money. And there was no way that he could pay back his debt. He just couldn't do it. And as we read in the story, the man who owed him that much money couldn't pay, and so the man forgave him. He told him, you don't have to pay. You're free. There's no obligation. It's over. It wasn't a matter that he gave him more time. The story says he forgave him the debt. But then as we read on in the story, we noticed something rather interesting. We noticed that when the man did not respond in kind to someone who owed him money, that the original man came back and threw this person, ungrateful person, into prison. And as I read that, I thought to myself, how could he do that? He forgave him. After he had forgiven him of that debt, how could he then come back upon him and throw him into prison for it? Could he rescind his forgiveness? Apparently the man still owed something. I heard somebody say once to somebody else, I was overhearing their conversation, and they were saying that they hoped and prayed that they would get all of their sins forgiven because they didn't want to be lost for just one sin. How tragic it would be, they said, if they had taken care of all of, you know, everything in their life except that they had forgotten one little area and had left it uncared for. And they were afraid and didn't want to be lost because of that. And as I thought about that later on, I was thinking, well, that's rather impossible to be lost for one small sin because we are not working on a checklist of things towards perfection. And we're not ticking them off one by one. Well, I've taken care of ketchup in my life and still need working on mustard, but I'll get rid of that. And, you know, and you get down through the... It doesn't work that way. You see, it's a matter of accepting Christ's robe of righteousness and His perfection for you. And if you accept His robe of righteousness and His perfection, He forgives all of your problems. And His robe covers you completely. It doesn't let a sticky, dirty pant leg hanging out at the bottom. He doesn't cover you 99%. You are either wearing the robe of Christ's righteousness or you are not wearing it at all. You either have all of your sins forgiven and taken care of, or you have none of them forgiven and taken care of. Which means that at the time of the end, in the day of judgment, a man will not come before the judgment bar of God with just one sin to have to pay for. He will have to pay either for all of them or none of them. And I think that's rather exciting this morning because if we look at that in the positive sense, that shouldn't scare us and say, oh, I'm going to have to pay for the whole gamut. But we must look at it from the positive sense and rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ is willing and able right now to take care of all of them, every single one. And that right now we can rest in the assurance of His salvation and rejoice and be glad that He has done the whole thing. It's beautiful, really, isn't it? He has forgiven us. They are gone. But now comes the obligation. And I think this is what came out of the parable that Jesus told. That man had been forgiven all, but apparently in the story there was some kind of obligation that went along with that forgiveness. And the obligation was to share in kind to someone else. Jesus has forgiven us all and expects us now to share in kind to someone else. All. Paul understood this. And here is where we now come back to our study of Romans chapter 1. And I'd like you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. And we're going to look at the verse today that we're looking at studying. And it's Romans chapter 1, verse 14. We dealt with verse 5. And verse 5 said, by whom, speaking of Jesus, we have received what? Do you remember? Grace. We have received grace from him. What is grace? Grace is something that comes to you freely. It is unmerited favor. It is that which God gives to you that you did not deserve. You didn't deserve forgiveness. God gave you his grace to forgive you. This man didn't deserve in the parable to be forgiven of that great debt. The master just forgave him the great debt freely. But there was an obligation. And Paul, speaking of grace in verse 5, now in verse 14, speaks of his obligation. He says, I am debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul is introducing his letter to the Romans. And he is telling them, I have to preach to you. I have to share with you. I have to, because I am a debtor. Paul says, I am in debt to you and to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. Why was Paul in debt? What kind of a debt was it? Was it a financial debt? No. It was an obligation that resulted from the grace that he had received. When something beautiful happens to you, you have an obligation to share that beauty with someone else. When something really marvelous happens to you, really, it's a natural response to want to share it. If I see a beautiful sunset, I can't contain myself. I can't stand there and look at it myself. I run in the house and I get my wife or I get my boy. I get anybody that's around me and I say, come and look at the sunset. You have to share this beautiful thing that happens. And I want you to notice that in the parable, the man who was forgiven had an obligation, but he didn't have an obligation to the master as much as he had an obligation to someone else. And so it is with God. When God forgives us, we don't have the obligation to him. We have an obligation with someone else. Paul understood this. God had given Paul grace. Paul does not say in verse 14, I am a debtor to God, does he? He says, I am a debtor to the Greek. I am a debtor to the barbarian. God's grace that had been given to him had made him a debtor to someone else. I read a story once about a man who was given $1,000. And if he gave that $1,000 away within 24 hours, somebody was going to come and give him $2,000. And if he took $1,000 of that $2,000 and gave it away within 24 hours, someone would come to him and give him $4,000. And if within 24 hours he would give away $2,000 of that money, someone would come to him the next day and give him $8,000. And on it went. But the day that he stopped giving away half of what he had received, was the day that people would stop coming and giving him the next day. The whole idea behind it was the more he shared, the more he would get. The obligation of the contract was to keep sharing. Paul was in debt to the Greek Paul had received this obligation. I think Elijah, with the widow of Zarephath, really brings this to a real point for us. Paul comes to this woman. She has a small handful of food left. And Elijah says, did I say Paul? I think I said Paul. Elijah came to the woman of Zarephath. And he said, share with me what you have. And she did. And what happened? You know the story. Every day that she went back to the barrel, there was enough in it for her family and for Elijah. Had she not shared with Elijah, she would have eaten her last meal, and then the barrel would have been empty, and she would have died. And so the lesson that Paul has for us in Romans chapter 1, verse 14 is very simple. We have received grace from God. We are in debt. Our debt is to share the forgiveness, the love, and the beauty of it all with other people. We have an obligation to share our love. I am in debt to you this morning. And how can I repay that debt to you? I repay that debt to you by loving you, by being genuinely concerned about your needs and your problems. Now, however, there is one more issue that we must mention. There are certain people that it is easy to love and care for. It is easy to love you because you're nice people. It is easy to love you because you all take baths. It's easy to love you because you all comb your hair and look so nice and shine your shoes. But do you know there's people around us that don't always shine their shoes and don't always take baths? And there's some people around us that just aren't easy to love. Please notice our text, Romans 1:14. Paul says that he was a debtor to the Greek, who was a very sophisticated person. He was also a debtor to who? To the barbarian. Paul owed just as much to the unlovely and the unlovable as he did to the lovely. And then he says to the wise and the unwise. There are some people that we talk with and mingle with that just tax us because they just don't seem to have it all together up here. And it's so easy to just, you know, push them aside and walk away from them and say, well, they're not worth my time. But we have a debt to them too. Paul says to the wise and the unwise. By God's grace to this congregation this morning, this rich congregation this morning, this congregation that has been given a million-dollar plant, this congregation that has been given ample food and clothing and transportation, this rich congregation this morning that has been given the fellowship of each other, this rich congregation this morning that has been fully and completely forgiven of all of its sins. This rich congregation this morning is in debt to all of our neighbors in the houses around our church. We this morning are debtors because we are so rich.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.